And so we are going to look through the book of Acts. Because Acts is all about movement and momentum. It's a socio-historical narrative, which means God is telling a story to the world of what happens when the gospel comes into a community. What does happen? What does it look like? And through the book of Acts, as it starts in chapter 1, verse 1, a guy by the name of Theophilus is welcomed into the story. And in a sense, he's invited to make that story his story. And I want to tell you that there are only two stories, yours and God's. And the best thing you can do is make God's story your story, because you will find movement and you will find momentum. If your story is not the same as God's story for you, there's always going to be living a little bit of dodgems. So I want to start a series on the book of Acts. And so, book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. If you have a Bible, please open it. If you don't have one, follow the screen behind me. But I'm just going to read a couple of verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." That would be John 14 and John 16. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Then theologians around the world over many centuries have all agreed that the next verse is probably the key text of the book of Acts. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. So, just going to go to there today. There's another verse that they reckon could also possibly be the key verse of Acts, very linked to this in chapter 2. We'll get there in about April. All right. Book of Acts doesn't focus on a single person. It's a narrative about the spread of the gospel by its founder through his people. It tells the story of community in a way that expresses the values of the group in a balanced way. In other words, community started, right? These people believed in Jesus. Now imagine a crowd this size. You suddenly all come to a revelation of Jesus and we come in the same room. The problem is, you came with me. It would have been much better if I'd just been on my own. Because who knows that when you're on your own, you're normally happy. It's only when other people come into your life that things mess up, right? And so now you go, I mean, I would struggle to do this, but some of you live in complexes. And by God's grace, each of you has a neighbor that's music's always loud. Or kid always cries. Why is that? I don't know. But I do know that community has its challenges. And if that community doesn't have a set of values that govern that community, it's going to be chaos. And so a community, bang, begins that all love Jesus. But the thing is, they've got to learn to love each other and they've got to learn to love the world. And so in this community, in the book of Acts, we suddenly see that there's a whole system of values given on how we should live together, which you then own to be a better people person. Because these values are given and shaped by God. And these biblical, heart-held values guide and dictate the practices of the community. You see, in any community, self is going to rise up. And by the way, the closest community you have is marriage. And why do marriages end in divorce? Because self rises up. Self. And so God puts values into the church to say we all run the risk of self popping up a number of times a day. And when you absorb what God has for you, you're able to be good for the community because you're able to allow God to lead you. You see, if God's spirit and God's ways don't lead you and I, what we're left with is reacting according to what's inside us. And often what's inside us isn't good. And so we can't respond or react according to stimuli, things that happen to us. We have to respond to the before established values God gives us. And so this community is now, they love Jesus, and then Jesus says to them, but listen, I want you to wait in Jerusalem because power is going to be given to you. And when power is given to you, it's going to define you as a Christian. Well, okay, how's it going to define me? Because you're going to be my witnesses. Done. I want to tell you that the heart of the gospel is about witness. Why did God send Jesus into the world? So Jesus could speak about the Father. Why does Jesus send the Spirit? So the Spirit can speak about Jesus. Why does the Spirit send us? So that we can speak about Him. Inherent in being a Christian is being a witness, what the Bible calls being the light of the world. And so we need to be those who know how to become a witness. And when we start to realize that actually I'm a witness, then what happens is you start to get movement and you start to get momentum into your life. A young man was in our church. He's apparently rated one of, he's now living in America, got a brilliant job. I think he's based in Chicago. And he has been given a wonderful opportunity to let his light shine. He's one of the top, I think he was in Time Magazine and wherever, as one of the top Instagrammers in the world, etc., etc. Young boy, he was in our church, his brother's in our church. His dad is the architect who designed this building, one of our elders. Anyway, he gets hold of me last night at about 9:30. Why? Because he's bored. Don't get hold of me at 9:30 because you're bored. He's on a plane from Chicago to Hong Kong and they allow texting. So I was like, hey, but I'm in the air. I thought I'd just phone and say hello, I'm missing you. Thank you. Missing you as well. And we get onto the conversation of how hard it is to be a witness in that world of advertising and media that he's in. And he's always been very accountable to me till today. Every little relationship he has, everything that's going on, he texts me always. He grew up in this church. And last night I said to him, but the only way that you will not lose your focus is you have to keep loving Jesus, number one. In that world you're in now, where most of us will never aspire to, you've got to keep loving Jesus. And secondly, you have to be a witness. You have to witness about Christ, because when it comes out of your mouth, you have to live a certain way. Because once you've put it out there, you've got to live it. That's why some of you, most of you, should not have that fish on the back of your car. Get it off till you drive properly. Acts speaks of movement and momentum. Therefore, those attached to the gospel should experience and embrace movement as a way of life. Not just random movement either. Because there is movement that's welcome, there's movement that's not welcome. And I love to watch my boys when they play dodgems and they do their thing and they smack into each other. Some of our lives can be like that. And you say, well, I have movement. Yes, but your movement is destructive. Movement needs to be constructive. There needs to be momentum. There needs to be progress. It needs to be measured. It needs to be sustained. So Luke writes to this early church, and he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And he says there's a mission laid out in chapter 1, verse 8. And this book of Acts, is about the mission and the centrality of the mission as the Holy Spirit empowers us for, in that verse, cross-cultural evangelism. That we all live in a world where people need Christ. And so our churches are essential, not just as a place where I come in today to get fed. No, you come to get equipped so that you can leave this place, walk out of here as a witness. That your life is a testimony that God is real. You know, some people say, oh, as Christians, they're hypocrites, they don't live. The reason you and I have become Christians is because we knew our lives were a mess. We, unlike the world, at least own that our lives are a mess. And we're the ones inviting the Holy Spirit in to change us, to transform us, to make us more like Christ. We own our weaknesses, but we trust Him to make us strong, don't we? And so that's what this is all about. This is a book with forward momentum. There's a gospel that needs to be preached. I want to tell you, our lives only make sense when joined to God's mission. Otherwise, what is the point of getting up every morning? What is it like when you wake up in the morning, you think, wipe your sleep out of your eyes, I've got to face the traffic again, I've got to do this again. The reason you do it is because you're on mission with Jesus. And in the book of Acts, we are taught a few things we need to know. And so before I even get to Acts 1 verse 1, I need to spend a little bit of time painting a picture on what are the core themes in Acts that you and I need to own in here. Are you ready? Okay, so theme number one. God is the God of all humanity. God is the God of all humanity. He shows no ethnic partiality. None. Acts 10, verse 34. I will sometimes use other books of the Bible, but I want to look for a little while at Acts, and I'm going to use Acts to speak about Acts. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You see, our God in heaven does not show any discrimination against people, therefore, nor should we. And we live in a multicultural environment set by political undertones, and if we don't let the light shine, we start to join camps. You can see it on Facebook. You can see people reading articles that are written with an agenda. And we're so clever and discerning and led by the Spirit that we jump straight in when we don't even know the facts. When the Bible says, yes, how silly, yes, how stupid to decide before knowing all the facts. But we do it. We give political commentary by people. Anyway, the point is, I'm trying to say that we live in a multicultural environment serving a God and worshiping a God who doesn't discriminate. He wants everybody to be saved. What are the implications? We need not to discriminate. We've got to make sure the gospel reflects how we treat others. If God does not discriminate and God wants people from every nation, it also puts onto this church a reminder that we are called to the nations. And isn't it something perhaps over the last 3-4 years we've lost a little bit? We have a few guys going on trips, but most of us are just trying to make it in Johannesburg. I want to remind you, maybe some of us need to start buying or getting passports again. Some of us perhaps need to start committing with our families that at least every 2 to 3 years, we're going to go with the church on a trip to a foreign nation. Because this gospel is for the nations. Like Andre, who phones me every single week in Aussie, trying to do what God's called him to. There's another couple in the church now, want to go to another city. There are people who want to relocate, who want to go out because they have a love for the nations. And I want to tell you that we as a church need to restore that love for nations. I believe we need to decide we're going to take our children, we're going to take our families with. I remember when I took my boys 2 years ago to Holland. I remember being in the Netherlands, different culture, different everything, how my boys were goggle-eyed in this environment. And often we are celebrating churches of 50 people because that's all they can do. And they're struggling hard in foreign environments. And we celebrate that. Otherwise, they think this is the norm for everybody, and it's not. We've got to get a heart for nations again. Some of us need to say, God, do you want me on every 3rd or 4th or 10th holiday I go on to actually go and add some ministry time to it? To remind myself that I'm on mission. Not only that, but as the living God, he doesn't need temples. He doesn't need anything from humans. He's gracious in Christ. He is the God of humanity. His message is a message of grace, a message of salvation, of unearned favor. Because God is the God of all humanity, God makes promises and he keeps them to the earth. He hasn't left us to wander in ignorance. He's made us in his image. I did a whole series on that, to be his children. This gospel is about the privilege, the beauty, the simplicity of relationship with God. He is the only God of all humanity. My question to you is, how do they see him? How do they meet him? How are they introduced to him? I'll tell you how. They will meet him when he still takes your breath away. when you are still enamored with Jesus. When he's far more than a concept or a belief system, but when he becomes the person you are passionate about. On the way to church here, my cousin lives in Rosebank, just sent me a message. Greg, I love you, praying for you. No, she didn't say that. I think she's a Christian. She said, I love you, I'm thinking of you. Hugs and kisses to you, just worried about you and the boys. How are you? And my response to her straight away was, I said, and her name is Monique. I said, Mons, I have a faith that sustains me, girl. And I'm grateful to Jesus every single day. Next voice note, when are we getting coffee? Because I think she needs this message. Because I'm enamored with Jesus, does he still take my breath away? You see, God told us about Jesus, didn't he? God told us about Jesus, his son, in a way that makes him so attractive. If you read the Gospels, trust me, you love Jesus. When you read those four Gospels, you fall in love with Jesus. And Acts starts with chapter 1, verse 1. I want to tell you, I want to remind you of what Jesus began to do and teach, because he's going to do a lot more. But before we start talking about mission and momentum and everything, I need to ask, is the God of all humanity the one that still takes your breath away? Does he still take my breath away? Am I still enamored by his forgiveness? Do I still find it easy to forgive because I've been forgiven? My acceptance in him. Some of us strive for acceptance with the wrong people. We hang around with bad people because they so-called accept us. Actually, you're just there to make up the numbers. If I'm accepted in the beloved, if I'm accepted with him, then that big fat hole I have is filled. And you become a blessing in my life. I don't need you. Suddenly, I can be led by good friends. Mercy, grace, restoration, inheritance, etc., etc., etc. And because he's the God of humanity, he's also the God who graciously turns people to himself unexpectedly. Think of the radical conversion of Saul of Tarsus. God always wants to get people saved. Saul is riding a donkey, breathing threats against the church, and God still saves him. Let me ask you, how many of you, don't put your hands up, how many of you in this room were actually seeking God when you found him? Very few. How many of you, like me, were on your own mission when God got a hold of you? Because that's the nature of our God. He wants people to be saved. He's the God of humanity. He's the creator of the world. He is the only source of salvation. And he has the, you know him. Hopefully you spent time with him before you got here today. Hopefully you worshipped him, prayed to him, read his Bible. Hopefully you engaged him. If not, make a note, do it later. But be in the place where the God of humanity is yours. He opens the hearts of those who want to embrace his message. Acts 16, 13. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the woman who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Salvation is God's work. And if you just open your heart, you will be amazed how God will speak to you. Can I tell you, there are things about you that God wants to speak to you about. And he's opening your heart. Don't resist him. Allow him to do the things that only he can do. He knows you so well. God adds new believers to the church, because he's the God of all humanity. And the church grew daily, the Bible says, because God adds them. God brings them. And then he chooses you to witness for him. I want to tell you, if you're a part of New Day, you're not here just because it suits you. You're here because God wants you here. And if you're not here because God wants you here, then go somewhere else. Because you're just going to be a problem later. Just be honest. But if you're here in this church because God wants you here, then you call to be on mission with the rest of us. You call to join in what God's called us to do. He doesn't save you and then bring you here so you can serve your agenda. You serve his. And there's many times I've had to lay down my own agenda to serve his. Many, many times. And you're going to have to do it as well. And if God has called you to this church, can I say this? Find an area in this church to serve. And then do it properly with all your heart. Even if it's a small area, find an area where you can get involved and do it properly. And because he's the God of all humanity, I also want to say this. He will equip you and he will grace you for service. He will do wonderful things. God will speak to you. God will speak through you. You suddenly find yourself with an ability to do stuff you didn't know possible. Just put your hand up and say, Lord, you're the God of humanity. And so you want to reach humanity through me. Help me, Lord. This is the story of God. And I want to tell you, if God himself isn't doing the work, we're wasting our time. The book of Acts, as you will see, shows our complete dependence upon God by the Holy Spirit. Our complete dependence upon God by the Holy Spirit to achieve what he wants for us and through us. And I want to say, you know, starting a new year, it's like, Greg, I want you to give us one of those rah-rah preachers and just do these 10 things and you're going to end well. I want to tell you that Jesus is incredibly consistent. And when he made disciples, when he invited people to follow him, he said, listen here, come follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. Now, you don't have the right to get saved and then say, God, but do something else with me. You told them to make fishers of men. As for me, I want to tell you that I don't think, if we had continued the trajectory of the early church, I believe Jesus would have come back already. Because the Bible says this gospel we preach the whole world, then the end will come. And somewhere towards the end of the Middle Ages, we lost the plot entirely. And we formalized, we religionized church. And we introduced a system instead of telling people to be enamored with a person. And we need to get back to telling people that the God of all humanity is worth loving and following and serving. And I'm going to do it by witnessing about him. Are you okay? Right, that's point one of about 50. So, let me quickly put a point two in, then we're done. 22 minutes, we've got 8 minutes left. Not only is he the God of all humanity, that's what we learned first in Acts, but he's the God of salvation history. There is salvation in no other name except him. God has worked salvation in Jesus. God is in the saving business. You see, God acts in history through Jesus. In Acts 7, Stephen's speech to the Sanhedrin where he's defending himself. Multiple human characters are mentioned, but God is mentioned as the main protagonist in that speech 16 times. When Stephen defends the fact that he believes in Jesus Christ, 16 times God is mentioned as the main character because God is interested in our salvation. Paul says in Acts 13, verse 36, that David only died when he had fulfilled God's purpose for himself in his generation. In other words, God is the one who continues the work through the limitations and the mortality of normal people. I mean, David was not even allowed to die until he had fulfilled what God wanted him to fulfill. Once his part of the story was over, he was allowed to go to heaven. And so I want to remind you that God, as the God of salvation history, wants to write a small story on earth through your life. Through your life. Through your participation in the gospel, he wants you to help write the story that will be remembered and spoken of for all eternity. And he wants you to remember that that person you spoke to, that person you gave to, that person you prayed for, that one you testified to, that one you shared your life with, their stories begin, their momentum, their movement begins because you just got involved and shared something of your story. And that's what he wants for you, and it's what he wants for me. God, I believe God's desire is that we would fulfill the purpose of God for our generation, then die. And because you don't know when that is, make the most of the gospel this year. Make the most of testifying about Jesus this year. And you can testify with words and how you live. We know that. But just get on with it. God worked actively in Jesus. In Jesus' ministry of healing and deliverance. In Jesus' ministry as the chief agent of God's grace. In Jesus' ministry as suffering for the sins of the world. As being the judge of all humanity, of pouring out his Spirit upon us. God has acted in Jesus through salvation history. And you and I need to know we have a part to play in all those things. In healing and deliverance, we have a part to play. In being an agent of God's grace, we have a part to play. In identifying with the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we have a part to play. We need to recognize that our God is going to judge the world. We need to testify. And as Jesus poured out God's Spirit upon the world, we need to receive the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray for others to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to be primarily involved in God's mission. We need to remember that there's a sincerity about this, because those who rejected God's testimony put him to the test. And the Bible says you stand in judgment when you put God to the test. And there are those whom God will speak to and will open up to, and they will refuse him, but that's their business. Our job is to testify. We also need to know that in the principle of sowing and reaping, sometimes when people get crazy, God gives them over to their own madness. Acts 7:42, but God turned away and gave them over to the worship of the heavenly bodies. When Israel in the wilderness said, no, we don't want to serve God, he said, well then fine, do your own thing. Until it was too late, he said, do your own thing. And sometimes we need to understand that our God will allow people to walk the road they chose to walk. And it's only as we as a prophetic people get involved and keep calling them to repent that it will turn them around. There's an edge to which everybody in this room knows at least 10 people who've backslidden. And I want to tell you, it's your job by the Holy Spirit to speak to them and get them back in the church. Get them back into a place where they can live for the sake of the gospel. Somebody once said, and I think it's true, that if every single church opened every single door and every single chair out there, if just the backsliders returned, every church in the world would be full. Totally full. If the backsliders simply returned. And I want to tell you, you don't backslide through things. You backslide because you lose your love for Jesus. You backslide because you're no longer having your breath taken away by him. How do you respond then? What does it look like if you said, okay, he is the God of all humanity, so they need to know that, and he's the God of salvation history, which means he's the God who put everyone in place, and he's the God who enables them to come back. How should I live? I'm going to give you two simple things to close in the 2 minutes I've left. Number one, we become a people of praise. People of praise. So I got a word for you from God. Change your flipping attitude. And a little bit of Greg thrown in there. Okay, the Lord didn't use that one word. That was pure. That was pure me. Become a people of praise. Acts 3 verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. He went with him into the temple courts, walking, jumping, praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So yeah, we have a man who couldn't walk, a cripple. If you like, we were spiritual cripples. Then God saved you. What's the first thing the guy does? Is he praised God. It's tomorrow morning. It's Monday. You haven't come back yet. Jesus, sound the trumpet. When I lived in Eden Glen, I had a neighbor whose kid went to Jeppy. And Jeppy's got a pipe band. And it's a true story. I don't lie when I'm standing here. This oak. Yeah. This oak joined the Jeppy flipping pipe band. And guess what he played of all things? Yes. Bagpipes. I think Sean and I had a chat about it. Sean Stein, we had a chat about it. Sean lived about half a K from me and he heard it. Is this the truth? Flower of Scotland. I know what it's like to pray that Jesus comes back. But these people were filled with praise. And I want to say to you, there's something about praise. A happy people, a grateful people, a positive people. Can I ask you, just remember this year, just praise him. Live in praise. Let your attitude be fixed on those things, Philippians will tell you. Because I'm telling you, the more you speak, the more you become what you just spoke. Praise. Be positive. And the other thing, that in Afrikaans you can mark the in English the characteristic of a person who understands the God of humanity and the God who of salvation history is not only are you a person of praise, but you're a person of faith. You're a person of faith. Acts 16:31. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy, like praise, because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. The evidence, the fruit that you follow Jesus is that faith is drip-fed into your life every day. Because faith comes by hearing. God comes, he talks, he ministers, he talks to you, he helps you. And as he does, faith comes. I'm suffering with a post-nasal drip at the moment. I've been on 3 doses of antibiotics. Nothing's working. I don't know what's going on here. But every now and then I'm spitting because there's this slow drip feed. Sorry for my language. And I spoke I couldn't eat. Just boosh, every 15 times a day. That's gross, eh? But here's where I'm going with it. Faith is a slow drip feed. Can you picture it now? Faith is a slow drip feed that you let out every now and then. You just let it out. How do you let it out? 3 ways. God wants us to pray. Acts 12:5. Peter was kept in prison. The church was earnestly praying to God for him. If you're full of faith, one of the evidences is you pray. Number 2, he wants us to trust. Just trust. Acts 27:25. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God. It will happen just as he told me. Pray. Trust. Trust comes out of prayer. God must be obeyed. Number 3. He wants us to obey him. If you're a person of faith, you'll pray, you'll trust, and you'll obey. Stand with me, please.